Hi, I'm Marcus Armstrong from New Zealand, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 820, February 17th. 2020, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say the launch phase is over. Blast off in Barcelona this week. Now back to Mr. Rogers, the Gagarin of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Hamlin wins a crash-infested Daytona 500. Why is Fernando not in the Daytona 500? And can LCH deal with a new team dominating F1? And can Imola really replace the Chinese Grand Prix? And one more little item, Verstappen says that LCH's success is because of his car. And I just want to remind everybody, your contribution to keep this program on the air is absolutely welcome. We need it. Please support F1Weekly.com. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am very excited, sir. The finish to the Trampona 500 was very exciting, and it was another first for NASCAR. We did not have tar fire at the end, but this time we had roof fire. But hopefully everybody's okay. And third win at Daytona for Denny Hamlin in the FedEx Toyota. So congratulations to everybody at Daytona. Always a great race, and I always enjoy it. But, sir, talking of Formula One, you said something very, very important, which I also read today. It was sweet, sweet news to my ears that of all the places that made a place Chinese Grand Prix is Imola. Once upon a time, home to the San Marino Grand Prix. Have you ever been to this track, sir?
No.
Sir, it is so beautiful. It's pretty much in a residential area. And of course, you can see the houses when the race is on. But what I found so beautiful was inside the track, there is a school. Talk about learning motor racing from an early age.
The school is a wonderful thing.
Oh, very good. Very good. And of course, sir, big news is the Chinese Grand Prix going chop-chop, which I must say was sensible decision not to go there. No need to hang him high in Shanghai. Coronavirus may not be fully eradicated for several months, from what I hear. It will be very challenging, if not impossible, to reschedule the Chinese Grand Prix. Their comrades in Russia have already said niet to trade dates between Sochi and Shanghai. And I don't think the speed demons in Yas Marina are interested in not being the season finale. My understanding is they pay a premium to be the last race of the season. Abu Dhabi Grand Prix is a serious cash cow for Liberty Media, reportedly paying around $45 million per annum. And let's not forget the automatic built-in 10% bump every year. And I do understand that Australian Grand Prix also pays a little bit premium to be the opening round. But then the gentleman who was responsible, who is now deceased, I think his name was Ron Walker. He was, let's put it this way, a crony of Bernie Ecclestone. Would you like to see the F1 go to San Marino, sir?
Absolutely. San Marino is my favorite place. And we know what happened there between Fernando and El Machismo.
I would say that was one of the greatest race wins in the history of Grand Prix racing. Not just Formula One, but Grand Prix racing, which goes back to 1906. Know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, my brother.
Yes. And now Ferrari is to face Italian F. Lee Bailey. This is, you know, sign of the times. An Italian consumer rights group has threatened legal action against Ferrari and demanded the seizure of the new F1 car that was presented on Tuesday, claiming it is unlawfully promoting tobacco products. Mission Beno is a branding of Philip Morris, the friendly folks who bring you names like Marlboro, Benson & Hedges, and Virginia Slims. Sure, you've come a long way, baby. This campaign has the backing of Italian Ministry of Health. According to them, the Mission Beno brand, used on the occasion of Formula One sporting events, allows, through the links on the site of the same name, a promotion, albeit indirectly, to an important manufacturer of cigarettes and new tobacco products. My two joints on this are simple. I agree with them. On top of this, if you look at the logo of Ferrari Driver Academy, and I noticed this when it was revealed, it is nothing but a variation on Marlboro's packet. And here it must be mentioned, the same company is paying Ferrari around $30 million each year. So there is power behind pesos. Your two Dutch marks on this, sir?
To be honest with you, I like tobacco sponsorship. It's real money. It's elegant. I mean, remember Mild 7?
Yeah, that was on the winning car at Imola in 2005, right?
Gracias, gracias. We are so uptight about these sinful things that people do. Well, you know, people will continue to do sinful things, whether it's on a car or whether it's in somebody's pocket. So my take on it, we are foolish.
Well, I note with interest you calling Marlboro products elegant. Surprised you did not use the word healthy also. Okay, now moving on to all the launches which are now complete. The last one being Williams. And hopefully they will be at the test on the first day. So that will be quite an improvement for them from last year. Any thoughts on the launches? Any comments?
Well, not really. All we're doing is seeing 2019 cars in different liveries, different names, a few tweaks here and there. But really, let's get on with it. Let's chop chop. Let's get LCH that big trophy.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, all the things you said except for the last item, which may also be true. And you know, all these cars look the same, and next year, apparently, from what I've seen, these cars will look beautiful, but we'll just have to wait. Now, as far as Mercedes is concerned, they have a new sponsor in a company called Ineos, which is some chemical company. LCH and Botas put in some miles in a private media-less filming day at Silverstone before official testing starts in Spain this week. Technical man James Allison is expecting a three-way fight from the outset, saying, and I quote, "There will be no room for making mistakes," end of quote, which means paging Mr. Sebastian Vettel, "Please pick up the red, courtesy phone." I think less mistakes and less civil war at Ferrari is required if they are to seriously challenge for the driver's title. Max will be operating at his usual performance level, which lives up to his name. I think the first three or four races of the season will set the tone. If he can topple the driver, he declares, is not God. But as per your prophecy, which may come true, who knows, maybe in Yas Marina, Lewis can take off his shirt again and show Max who is the savior of Sebastian as the youngest world champion. Moving on to Red Bull, looks pretty much the same to me, like you say, apart from a few tweaks here and there. The new car, RB16, has run at Silverstone. Christian Horner is impressed by the efforts behind the scenes in winter break, saying, and I quote, "We had a great debut season with Honda, and the partnership has got only stronger and stronger," end of quote. Max said, "Hopefully we can be competitive right from the start, and then I think it can be really an interesting and fun year." I think it's an interesting and fun year for Max from the day he arrived at Toro Rosso in Formula One. I want to ask you this thing. In terms of LCA having challenge, will it come from Max or the Ferrari drivers, whatever challenge it may be?
That's a good question, and it depends. I mean, if the marinara sauce has too much acidity, we will have a problem at Ferrari. But on the other hand, Honda and dependability. If Honda goes too strong, too fast, too quickly into the season beginning, they better be reliable. And if they are reliable, I see LCH frustrated on the radio, and I'm telling you, it could be Kimi Raikkonen all over again. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Yes, very true. The key here is to Honda and, you know, the Adrian Newey package, stick it to Lewis and Mercedes from the opening race, not six, seven races down the road, because most of these cars are now very reliable and you cannot expect them to break down so you can win the championship. But, you know, weather will play a part, teams screw up, and strategy will play a part, so it's still open season. And talking of Ferrari, that car was launched at the century-old Romolo Valley Theater in Reggio Emilia. This is the Italian province in which Maranello is located. The 2020 Ferrari Challenger is named SF1000 in celebration of their 1000 Grand Prix season. This 1000 Grand Prix this season, they were MIA in the very first year of Formula One at Silverstone in 1950. Now, you know, when they said that, I thought the 1000 Grand Prix would be the Canadian Grand Prix, but I guess that was including the Chinese Grand Prix. So we'll have to see which exactly will be the 1000 Grand Prix. But it's a very impressive number, so congrats to the Paisan in Maranello. This will be second year at Ferrari for Charles Leclerc. I think he will become more of a heavyweight and be more of major pain for Seb. Concur or not concur?
I concur. I think it makes perfect sense. We've got to see Ferrari mature and finally get the grips to trying to get this world championship. It's been evading them since 2007, and it's killing them. And the worst part is they're paying Sebastian Vettel a lot of money, but now they've got a new machismo. And I think the new machismo is the one to focus on. The problem is, will Ferrari get confused on focus?
Well, they are talking about they're going to let the drivers race. And if that happens, then, you know, expect more Brazilian Samba this season, if you know what I mean. Okay, now, moving on to Renault. Most impressive launch was made by Renault F1. Cyril Abitbol proudly introduced the new F1 car, the Renault Phantom. But Honey Badger is all sweet and smile, saying, "When I signed this initial two-year contract, I saw a podium in that signing." I agree with Danny Boy. If he can reach top four in his first year at Renault, a podium should be possible. Or it will be time to take the fast train to Maranello, provided Seb's train has departed on time. Now, Benito is no longer there, so I have my concerns on that front. Your thought on Renault doing this? A lot of media people are not happy, you know, they wanted to see the car and all they saw was some digital images. What say you, Senor, Monsieur?
Well, I mean, let's face it, it's pretty much the same car, different livery. Let's relax a little bit. We know Renault has financial issues. The Goshen thing is haunting everybody. He's a disaster. And the funding, I mean, are they going to get the manufacturer behind them and give them the funding that they need to conquer all? We all know that Renault is capable. We've seen them win championships. We've seen them be a fantastic force to reckon with. Unfortunately, times have changed. Economic situations have changed. And there's a lot of issues at the parent company. So, to be honest with you, I haven't a clue.
Well, there are some new comments from both Cyril Abitbol and Alain Prost lately that they are pretty hopeful that this project will continue, and they are really hanging their hat on, you know, this budget cap and revenue from Formula One, that they will not cancel the program. It will be a shame to lose them. But I will say this to you, the success that Mercedes is having in hybrid era, honestly, I expected Renault to do this, given their background with turbo engines, both in sports car racing and Formula One. But, you know, it has been quite a surprise. And who better to ask than Christian Horner and Dr. Marco. They'll explain gladly. Okay, so Racing Point car was launched, the Pink Poodle, in Austria. BWT, Best Water Treatment, will be their title sponsor, and they are based in Dr. Helmut Marko's homeland. Interestingly, Otmar Szafnauer from Detroit had all his pistons firing when he declared, I quote, "We would like to put our two cars in the points in each race, as we have done in the past." And then he added his zinger of the day, saying, "You never know what can happen on the first lap. Romain Grosjean is still running." Did you find that funny, sir?
I found it absolutely hilarious.
Okay, what you will find even more hilarious is when Williams show up at Barcelona, and I'm pretty sure they will show up with two cars this season, and let's see how fast Nicholas Latifi and George Russell can go. Obviously nothing to do with their immense racing talent, but I think we're going to see, unfortunately, more of the same from Team Willy. It's become Team Willy-nilly, basically. Okay, sir, here is some interesting news. Lance Stroll to race under Stars and Stripes, and so will Nicholas Latifi. What has happened here? The Canadian National Sporting Authority, which is, you know, designated by FIA to be the ASN Canada, their bosses have resigned. They resigned last December because the president, Paul Cook, and vice president, Roger Purd, are both in their 80s and decided they could no longer dedicate the requisite effort to the ASN. So this left Racing Point, Stroll, and Williams driver Latifi unable to obtain licenses in their home country. So they will race under, it has happened many times, you know. There was this guy, Andreas Zuber from Austria. He used to race under UAE flag because he was, I think, based there, and maybe they paid him some money. But what happens when Nicholas Latifi wins a race, they will not play the American national anthem. They will play O Canada. And that's per FIA rules and regulations. So, but this was an interesting story. I was very surprised when I saw Lance Stroll. I thought maybe he moved to, you know, what's your favorite place? Compton, to be hanging out with Lewis. But apparently not. Now, I have to say this, you know, we all take cheap shot at Lance, but he is a smart kid, I have finally realized. Instead of listening to Janis Joplin singing, "Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes?"
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends.
He was singing his own tune at home, and that was, "Daddy, won't you buy me a Formula One team? All my friends drive Bugattis and Ferraris." Which really would not surprise me. What say you?
Unbelievable. I don't know. You know, I come from the past. I come from the day when people lived in a camper trailer, counted their pennies to stay in racing, mortgaged their home to get into racing, suffered, ate beans and sardines. It's a new era where you have so much money that, well, I can't even imagine what you eat for lunch, but I'm sure caviar, the best, of course, from Russia, is on the menu.
Yeah, you know, Nelson Piquet and both Keke Rosberg towed their racing car behind the camper, and they stayed and lived in that camper, did what they had to do to become world champion, and in the case of Nelson Piquet, three-time world champion. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, or, you know, maybe they do, but when Michael Schumacher made his Grand Prix debut, Eddie Jordan, being a shrewd operator that he was and is, did not book any hotel for him. So when Willie Weber and Michael showed up at Spa, they could not find any hotel room, obviously, on the eve of the Belgian Grand Prix. So Michael Schumacher had to sleep in a youth hostel. Amazing, huh?
Absolutely amazing. But those were the days. I mean, in those days, it wasn't billionaires. It was people with talent trying to make a point.
Yeah, you know, that's how I look at it. You know, if you're coming from immense wealth like Lance, and, you know, we cannot blame him for that. But like, you know, I've seen even when I, and it actually was pointed out to me at a go-kart track race, go-kart event in California once, when you have a 12, 13-year-old kid coming in a big SUV with the entourage of mechanics and PR and lawyers, staying in five-star hotels for his karting event. And good for them who have this opportunity. But where will motivation come from? Where will the fire come from when somebody who's coming to trying to get something going, whose papito is a bricklayer or whose papito is a highway maintenance worker. And these were the cases of Schumacher and Raikkonen, respectively. So, you know, if you have, like I once made a comment about some kid whom I got to know, but I shall not take his name. And my comment was that he will have a lot more money if he stays out of racing, just because, you know, Papito had a lot of money. So that's the way it goes. But that, you know, to each his own, and we'll see. We here at F1 Weekly, we go by performance on the track. And if you're quick, you're good. And if you're not quick, then you're not quick. Papito?
I completely agree with you. And the thing is, I have not seen a billionaire impress me on the track yet.
Yeah, that is very true. You mean behind the wheel of a race car?
Correct. So until like you said, so many people struggle to get to Formula One financially, and these kids that are given billions, I mean, like you said, I mean, Lance Stroll is buying a team, or his father, Lawrence, or whatever. I mean, I don't think it can get worse than that.
Yeah, this motor racing has always brought in rich kids. You know, Mike Hawthorn and Stirling Moss, they were not your average, British chaps. But this thing has gone to a totally different program, a totally different level, you know. I've heard of guys doing extra testing in Formula Atlantic, Formula 3, but to do 20, 30 days of testing in a Formula One car 2 years before you come into Formula One, I mean, that's very, very impressive, to say the least, in terms of what you can do with your money.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. But the biggest problem about the billions is it dilutes the talent pool. Not only that, but you scare away, or they are scurried away, where we may have real talent but no money. And once again, the Formula One viewers, the fans, are getting ripped off. There could be talent out there with no money. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are people that will sign young talent, but those are few and far between.
Well, that's why all credit goes to Red Bull, you know, to picking up, giving it drivers. I mean, I really like their program. I just don't like the way they push people through the system. But, you know, being an Austrian company, every second driver is not from Austria or German speaking. You know what I'm saying? They've given chances to, they even took this Dutch girl, Bijtske Visser, when she was doing very well and came into single-seater racing. They took her on board. And of course, you know, she was not able to meet Dr. Marco's, you know, very high standards, which, you know, very few drivers are able to. But they give opportunities, man. If you look at their new kid, they have a kid by the name of Dennis Hauger. I think he's from Norway. He's very young. They picked up this kid, Liam Lawson from New Zealand. So there are opportunities out there, and there are specialized marketing companies, you know, like Nicola Todd's All Road Management, and there are, you know, Didier Coton and all that. So talent, cream will always rise to the top. It will find a way, one way or the other.
Just like the crew in the palatial studios of F1Weekly.com.
Oh my God. Boy, you are so humble. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nass. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Fisichella, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the Sultan, the Guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And today we will start with Formula E. Porsche on pole with André Lotterer, famous for his F1 debut with Caterham, if I remember correctly. But Kiwi Mitch Evans leaps ahead to win for Jaguar. He now leads the championship by a single point over Alexander Sims, who used to race against Bottas in Formula 3 back in the day. The race was a crash fest and took place on Hermanos Rodriguez circuit, of course in Mexico City, unlike most FE races, which are street fights. Sir, do you have any interest in going to a Formula E event?
No.
None at all?
Zero.
There are several ex-F1 drivers in this series, including Massa, Jean-Éric Bonne, and Sébastien Buemi. Next, we go to WRC, World Rally Championship, Rally Sweden. Three Toyotas in top four. Elfyn Evans becomes the first British driver ever to win the Swedish Rally. Estonian Ott Tänak was second in his Hyundai. Kalle Rovanperä was third ahead of Sébastien Ogier. Talking of Toyota, we go to Toyota Racing Series in New Zealand, and I really, really enjoyed this five rounds in 5 weeks. Fifth and final round took place at Manfield, and this series this year has seen the emergence of two great talents from South America. Despite going against defending champion and Red Bull Jr., Liam Lawson. Brazilian Igor Fraga won the championship in grand style, winning two of the three races of the final weekend. He won the opening race and final race of the season, which is called the New Zealand Grand Prix. Igor Fraga, his background is not karting. He was world champion of online racing championship and is sponsored by Gran Turismo. And I was looking at his bio. He also raced a couple of years ago here in the U.S. in the U.S. Formula 2000 Championship. He is managed by Roberto Moreno, who himself won the New Zealand Grand Prix in 1982. And we were just talking about this issue. Fraga's Papito is no Lawrence Stroll of Sao Paulo. Based on his performance in this series, I very much hope he is selected by a top team or driver management program. The other South American who stood out is 16-year-old Franco Colapinto. He is from Argentina and was on the podium in the final six races. He has been based in Spain, and I believe he did his karting in Alonso's kart team. Dutch driver Tiemen van der Helm was the winner of the second race. Championship, of course, like we said, won by Fraga. Lawson was second. Colapinto was third, and Japanese Red Bull and Honda Junior Yuki Tsunoda was fourth, and they are already talking about, you know, him becoming the next Japanese driver for AlphaTauri, previously known as Toro Rosso. Yuki will race in Formula 2, which I think is pushing him too much, but what do you expect? Okay, now, question is, Mercedes and Lewis, what will they do after 2020? Good news is Mercedes is staying in F1 based on vibes from Toto and their commissar in Deutschland. According to Mr. Wolf, we want the best driver, and the best driver wants the best car. You and I both know he is not referring to the non-championship winning driver. Apart from Mercedes, there is only one place to go for LCH. Ferrari has a world champion in the making in Charles. So I really don't see the need to pay $50 million or more to create mayhem, additional mayhem in Maranello. They already don't know how to handle the present situation, even when one of their drivers has been subdued by the new kid in town. There's talk on the street that LCH met John Elkann, chairman of Fiat Group, more than once, and that is fueling speculation of Lewis leaving Mercedes. My two leaders on this scenario, the only way I see Lewis joining Ferrari will be if Mercedes is unwilling to pay him an outrageous amount that Ferrari is willing to fork out. We're talking like $60 million or more per season. This is like $3 million per race. Certainly, Senna seems like a bargain at only $1 million per race at McLaren in 1993. At the end of the season, when all the dust has settled in Stuttgart, trains have arrived at the Maranello platform on time, and the rap music has been turned down in Compton, I say Lewis Hamilton will be in a silver car in Albert Park in 2021. Time will tell. What say you, Mr. Host?
Well, we've had surprises in the past, like Rosberg quitting all of a sudden after his first Grand Prix World Championship, Fernando going to McLaren after winning two championships at Renault. People do strange things, so we really can't throw anything out. I think anything is possible, and Hamilton, he himself has put an asterisk next to his championships. He knows he's got the best car, and he would like to challenge the ones that believe that it's all about the car, and maybe do what Fernando did when he had a car that had no business winning. So I can see the hunger there. I think it's respectable. I would be impressed with that. And at the end of your career, we all do need a challenge, don't we?
Yeah, that is correct. And it'll be interesting, you know. But the way I'm looking at it, the way the package he has, he should be able to win at least 7 or 8 races and equal or better Michael Schumacher's record. Whether he will end up winning the championship, I don't know. You know, we're going to have 21 or 22 races, so 7 wins may not be enough to win the championship, but we'll see. But I think, I have a feeling that if he wins his 7th championship, then I will not be surprised if he does a Rosberg, but we shall see. Moving on, now we open the Enron files, sponsors with high credibility, and I could not believe when I saw this. Rich Energy is back in motorsports. They will sponsor OMG Racing, ironically that's the name, in British Superbikes. Alan Gardner, the owner of OMG Racing, said, and I quote, "We are well aware of the previous controversy linked to Rich Energy. However, listen to this. William Story and the team at Rich Energy have been very transparent in their business dealings to give us full confidence in our partnership to move ahead." End of quote. I thought they had even changed the name of Rich Energy to Volt Energy. I say check in mail, Mr. Gardner. Special delivery by Pony Express. Expect the check to come soon. Now we come to famous last words. We have a situation where there was this story about Honda saying no to Alonso. And of course, you know, some this kind of stories invite a lot of comments from the readers, and everybody has an opinion, but this one really stood out. It is from a reader in O Canada, and this is what he wrote. "Honda should mail a lawn chair to Indianapolis so Alonso has a seat for the 500. So the digital slings and arrows can come from any part of the world in the age we live in. I have an idea, Mr. Rogers, to make you happy. Maybe Nando should go to the Japanese embassy in Madrid and sing our favorite song, I'm sorry, so sorry.
I'm sorry, so sorry that I was such a fool."
But I think time for that has passed also. There you have it, sir.
Thank you, Nass. Outstanding. Fernando will be okay. And you know, Fernando needs to take a lesson from MacArthur, General MacArthur. Remember that speech MacArthur made in front of Congress? And he said, "Soldiers don't die, they just fade away." What do you think?
I think he should take a lesson from Marie Callender and bake himself a very big humble pie.
Good band. I like Humble Pie. Keep up the good work, Nass. I like that. And I'll play Humble Pie on the next program. But that's it. That's all we got. The cars are on the track. Next week, we're going to be talking about times and, of course, Ferrari with the fastest pace. Nass, keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Ciao.